Good morning. It's great having you here this morning for worship. There's just a couple things that I want to draw to your attention as people are coming in. The first is this. It's this little white card that is in everybody's bulletin. Please fill that out. If you have some prayer concerns or things like that, please let us know how we can be praying for you. And if you have any information changes as far as where you're living or phone numbers, whatever the case may be, put that on there. We'll change things in our database and go from there. So hope that this weekend for you has been good. Actually, I hope it's been better than good. I hope it's been great. Want to invite you to look at the five announcements that are in the bulletin. One of those announcements deals with the vision dinner that happens tonight at 6 o'clock. It is free food. And it's not just free food, you're thinking, oh, hot dogs and hamburgers. No, this is free food that is really good food, okay? So it's free, it's good, it'll be a great time, and dessert will be served as well. It costs you absolutely nothing. And so please be here for that at 6 o'clock. We're going to talk about what God's done over the past year and then what God is calling us as a church to do, not just this church, but as we participate in the Big C Church, what God is calling all Christ followers to do. We'll talk about that this evening. So it's at 6 o'clock. I know there's a Cardinals game on. There's this thing called DVR. You can do that if you'd like. I don't have one. Do you even have a DVR? I mean, I don't even know, but you'll figure it out, all right? So be here at 6 o'clock. We'll be done around 7:15 or so in that area. So this past, a few weeks ago, we went to Haiti. I'm going to ask April, Dudley, and Alicia to come up here and talk to us about Haiti. This church has gone to Haiti for a number of years, and we've been able to, over the years, establish some great relationships with people in a little village called Grimoth. It's about 30 to 45 minutes north of Port-au-Prince, and it's up in the mountains. It's a beautiful place. These two great young ladies have been there. This is their second time. And so thought it would be appropriate, A, to say thank you for what you did in sponsoring us to go, and then B, to hear from them, because this month we're talking about missions, and we're talking about Mission Possible. What happened in Haiti was a fantastic experience. And so I'm going to ask them a few questions, and we'll go from there, right? So good morning to the both of you.
Good morning.
And you guys live together, right? So that was really good to do that in unison. So that's a good thing. So here we go. So what struck you most this time in Haiti? That was one of the questions. There we go. Thank you very much. So there we go. So April, what struck you most in Haiti?
I think what struck me most in Haiti this time, honestly, 2 years ago when we went, it was kind of the overall experience was like surreal. And I came back just thinking about everything. There wasn't like one really thing that stuck out in my mind. And I think this time after going, it was probably the kids touched my heart more than anything else this time. I was part of the construction team, and Alicia was part of the medical team, and we both got the opportunity together to go to an orphanage one of the days. And the orphanage, there was a couple kids that we were the same children that we got to see 2 years prior, and specifically two of them were these like plump, thriving little babies, and they were so sick 2 years ago that they didn't even know that they would live. And so that was huge to me. And then also there was all of these little kids around our construction site all the time. A couple of them were going to live in the house, and a couple of them were friends and family members. And there's this image that will probably stay with me forever. There was four or five of them that were watching us work. And first of all, they were fascinated at us just being Americans who are out of breath and schlepping things, and they do it like it's no big deal, laughing at us. But just the normalcy of there's a two-year-old sitting on the ground with a twig and a machete just chopping it. And just the fact that that's normal to them really makes you think. And then the rest of them were sitting on this pad drinking like this foam, dirty piece of foam, drinking these cups of brown water. And at one point I looked over and one little girl was picking the foam and eating it. And that was really tough to see. But that's probably what struck me the most this time.
Like she said, I was in the medical part, and last time I went, they didn't have a medical team, so I was really excited to go this time when they did have one, and I got to work alongside Fran and Boyd Baker's daughter, Anna, who's a nurse practitioner, and she just taught me a world of information in the very small 5 days. So while we were there, we saw about 300 patients, and the most that I saw we gave them were Tylenol and Tums, and you'd think that that'd be, you know, just you could just go to the store and get that, but these people can't. And it was just really interesting to see that something that significant was, or that insignificant, changed their entire day or changed their entire month. And they were just so excited to see a medical team, and they waited hours to be able to be seen. And it was just, their education level obviously is lower than it is here, and just the amount of health education that they don't have, and just being able to say just a few small instructions on how to take medication, is just, you could tell, would change the course of how their health was going to be. And so it was really cool to see how learning medicine here in the States and then being able to apply my knowledge in a different country will change their lives.
And that, just the insignificant things that we don't think that much about, for them is a huge impact. And then what decisions have you guys made, or a decision that you've made here to help you remember what you experienced in Haiti?
This time, again, was kind of different than last time for me. There was quite a few, mission trips are obviously all different, but there was quite a few times this trip that actually, we talked about this the last night, kind of made you sit back and realize that you are not always in control. You realize that obviously seeing how these people live, but quite a few things that happened to us, I mean, it was always a hurry up and wait type thing, and you just have to be flexible, and it was a good reminder for me that I need, not only, you know, in long term and short term, just I need to kind of sit and not try to take charge all the time, and that's, I think, what I'm mostly taking out of it this time.
So you're saying that you have issues with control every now and then. So what about you, Alicia?
I think any mission trip you go on just kind of changes your entire world perspective, and then let alone going to a third world country and seeing how people live every day, and how we were living there is obviously different than how we live here, but how we were living in Haiti was so much better than how most of the Haitians live in Haiti. So I just think any time you go out of the country and see how the other half lives, it just completely changes your perspective and makes you realize the things you take for granted and the complaints that you make every day it's completely insignificant after you see that.
Exactly. So that's good. And then lastly, if there was somebody who came up to you and said, hey, I'm thinking about going to serve in a place like Haiti, what would you say to them?
I would, first of all, tell them to go. Set aside any of your worries and go, because I myself am terrified of travel, and you just kind of got to put yourself in it and go. Also, just take a lot of Dramamine with you. No, if you're me. But
this is explaining a lot. So, but the goal, please carry on.
But really, just I think to not have any sort of expectation and just go and be willing to experience anything that is put in front of you, and don't have prior thoughts or judgments or expectation, really, so you can take it all in.
Okay, cool. What about you, Alicia?
Be flexible.
Right, yep.
The plans change at a moment's notice, and I think here in America, we're like, okay, well, this is the plan. That's what you said it was. Obviously, it can't change. No, it will absolutely change. And, I mean, get to know the people who you're going with. I think we had a great team, and our teamwork, I think people that went with us, I think I'm pretty much knew them all really well, but you go on a mission trip and you know I'm on a completely different level. And it was awesome to see a team come together, and you have to just completely be there and just give it your all instead of holding back anything.
Yep. And real quickly before you hand over the mic, this hit me. So you saw approximately 300 people at the clinic, and you mm-hmm. said some of them had to wait for hours.
Yeah. And that was, the clinic wasn't even advertised. So when they have a clinic team go and they advertise it, they have hundreds of people waiting before they even open the doors.
Right. So how would, in your experience here, serving as a nurse, if somebody had to wait for hours here, would you have gotten this, would you have received the same response that you did there?
Oh, of course not. You have to wait 20 minutes in a doctor's office and you have a list of complaints already. So But also, if you are interested in going on a medical or a construction team, don't feel like you have to have any prior background or experience in that area. I mean, we had people working in the clinic who have never done anything clinical-wise, and they did a fantastic job. But no, definitely, medical in Haiti and medical in America, it was, I can definitely see the difference in how a lot of the times here in America, we spend too much time on, I know, all the other things that are people are worried about except dealing with the actual patient. And in Haiti, we were able to actually spend time with each patient and assess them to the point where they felt like they were going to have a good outcome.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you, ladies, for sharing. So, and on behalf of these folks and the team, we say thank you for sponsoring us and for going. So thank you so much. We have a God that enjoys mission trips, but the thing is that God enjoys missions, period. We're all on a mission, and we have been doing this series called Mission Possible, and we continue that series today, and as we sing different songs and as we respond to what God's calling us to do as a people, may we not forget that service doesn't happen in a far-off country. It happens every single day. We have a great God who's worthy to be praised, and we get to do that here now. So, Father, we pray as we enter into this time that your Holy Spirit would lead us, guide us, and that, Lord, we would give you everything that we can. And we thank you that Jesus Christ has done what we could never do. And as we sing and hear your word proclaimed in just a little while, we pray that we would sing with great vigor and passion and in spirit and in truth. So, Holy Spirit, do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, invite you to stand up, greet one another. There are plenty of people here that you might not know. Please say hello this morning.
Part of the 3-5 ministries, you can go that way, or the 3-5 club.
Thank you.
Excuse me. I tell this to April almost every time she sings, that I could listen to her sing for days. And so, not just April, but this group, and Madison, fantastic. That's all there is to it. It's great stuff. We're talking about Mission Possible. And this past week, it's really easy for us to forget that the mission is possible. Friday night or Friday afternoon, when you, I don't know where you are, what you were doing, but when you received word about what happened in Paris, 129 people killed, hundreds seriously wounded, lives forever changed, and we see that, we see the evil, we see the darkness, and we wonder if the mission is possible. A few days prior to that, just a few blocks from here, two individuals murdered. Doesn't make any sense why these things happen, and we see the evil, we see the rage, we see the unmitigated violence, and we wonder, is there any hope? Is the mission possible? October 18th, the father puts his family in an SUV and drives into Tempe Town Lake in a murder-suicide. A family taken away from us, taken away from this planet far too soon, and we don't understand what's going on, why somebody would do that. Is the mission possible? Jesus Christ came into a world where it looked as if the mission wasn't possible, where it looked as if humanity was on this course, and it was on a course of absolute destruction. And Jesus Christ entered into that world and he made the mission possible. He succeeded and he pulled off what needed desperately to be done. He went into the darkness and he shone his light, and his light brought people to an understanding of what he is all about and what life is all about. It's easy to allow all these things that have happened this past week alone and give up. And Paul understood that. The people in Ephesus understood that. And we read this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, and I invite you to look on your app or look in the Bible, look in the bulletin, this passage, starting at verse 20. And Paul's saying, this mission is possible. And he says this, he says, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Jesus Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Father, we pray now as we come into this time in your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit would open our minds, our eyes, our hearts, our ears to receive from you what it is that you have for us. Lord, the mission is possible because of what Jesus Christ, you yourself, accomplished. May we not forget that, and may we realize all the more that you desire to live out that mission in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to consider something. I want you to consider this, that you may be the main person for someone to know Jesus Christ. It's tempting, isn't it, to look at other people and to say, well, they're more gifted, they're more skilled, they have a better attitude, or they can do this better than I could. And we're tempting to talk about how we want to grow and how we want to do this, yet we forget that we ourselves are perhaps the one person that a person is looking to represent Jesus Christ to them. That we have that privilege behind us. We're part of a bigger body, and God uses a variety of people, but yet there is within us a call to reflect Jesus Christ to other people. That's what Paul's talking about here. In verse 20, he says, that, however, is not the way of life that you learned when you heard about Christ, when you were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul says your way of life says plenty about who Jesus Christ is. Your way of life says whether or not Jesus Christ has done the work that he set out to do. He says this again and again, and he says, what does your way, he doesn't say it, but in essence what he's saying is, what does your way of life say about Jesus Christ? How you're living, what does that say? This past week, we were informed that there is another war on Christmas. Frankly, they took my cup. Oh, it's on a different one. They didn't take my cup. Oh, that would have blown the whole illustration. We were told there's a new war on Christmas. People are upset about these cups that Starbucks has. On Monday, I was watching the news, and they interviewed different people who were outraged that these don't say Merry Christmas on them, and they're upset, and we hear again that there's this war on Christmas. And as I was watching the interview, my blood began to boil. Because less than 24 hours prior, we heard from John Baker with Voice of the Martyrs telling us about the way of life that some people are living in this world that says, look at Jesus Christ through the way I'm living. And because they have a way of life that shows Jesus Christ to them, they are being beaten, they are being burned, they are being persecuted, they are losing their jobs. That's something to be outraged about. But you're telling me that in the midst of being outraged about persecuted Christ followers, that I should be just as outraged about a red cup. The real war on Christmas is when Christ followers who have the message of Christmas in their lives decide to not show that way of life that Jesus Christ came to show this world. Starbucks can make their cups. Companies can continue to do whatever they want. The war on Christmas is me. My lack of living a way of life that says, look to Jesus. My lack of living in such a way where people can say, is Jesus even involved? Folks, it's a cup. And if you want to point at the cup and say, that's the problem that we have in society today about Christmas, I will tell you this, you are sadly mistaken, because it's on you and me. The message of Christmas is from you and me. It's not about a cup from Starbucks. So as he points this out and he says this way of life, notice what he says. He says that it's a way of life that you were taught in him according with the truth that is in Jesus. Jesus Christ is the one who teaches us. Jesus Christ is the one who says these are true things. Not what somebody tells us about Jesus or not what the world says about Jesus, but Jesus says, this is who I am. Look to me for the way of life that you need to live. And then he goes on and he talks about to be made new in the attitudes of your mind. In the Greek, there are two words for new, and this particular Greek word is talking about a fresh, refreshed perspective is what it's talking about here. And it's put in a verb tense that says that it is to be a continual thing. That we are to be continually renewed in the attitude of our minds. Why? Because our minds can play tricks on us. Our minds can take us to places that we don't really need to go, but yet we go there. Our minds can take us to dark places. Our minds can make us think that we're truly not forgiven in Jesus Christ, and we carry these burdens around with us all the time. Our minds can do strange things. Paul understood that, and Paul says, refresh your mind constantly. When was the last time that you allowed your attitude to be refreshed in Jesus Christ? To be refreshed in such a way that you know that you're forgiven, that you know that you have power, that you know that you have the ability to be the one that you're called to be. And by the way, he says this in verse 24, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Putting on that new self. The old ways battle with the new ways. The old rotten ways battle with the new refreshed ways all the time. Because look what happens in verse 25. He says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. Then he goes on into verse 29, he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And in the middle, he talks about in your anger, do not sin. Throughout this particular passage, he's saying the battle rages within you between the old self and the new self. This is why you need to be renewed and refreshed in the attitude of your minds. Instead of speaking to each other deceitfully, you need to speak to each other truthfully. Now, some of you are going, good, I've got a green light to just blast people with the truth. That's not what he, and some of you are laughing loudly because you know that's you, but I shouldn't have said that. But what he's talking about here is it's all couched in an attitude that reflects Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ told people the truth, but he did it in a way that was grace-filled. He did it in a way that looked to help them, not hurt them. Paul goes on to say, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Tough question to consider. Are there people in your life right now that you're angry at? And you've been angry at them for a really long time. Because here's what's going to happen. If you don't deal with that anger, if you don't look to heal that relationship, if you don't look to heal that relationship by having an attitude that's refreshed by Christ, what ends up happening is that anger becomes resentment. And that resentment becomes poison in your soul. And that relationship is forever, not forever, but it is at that moment severely damaged. We like to think that we can show up on a Sunday or a Wednesday night, or we can show up on a Tuesday night if you're in high school and participate in what's going on here, and that we then can just go back to living the way we want to live. But what Paul's talking about here and what he's saying to all of us here is get your relationships in order. If you have issues with someone, you as a Christ follower, have a responsibility to take care of that relationship. Why? Because Jesus took care of his relationship with you. And then he goes on and he talks about our speech. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up, that it may benefit those who listen. Your words matter. And the words that we tell to ourselves matter. Some of us in this room tell ourselves all types of lies. We don't tell ourselves wholesome things about Jesus Christ and about what he's done for us. And we have people in our lives who are hurting, people in our lives who need to hear a good word about Jesus. People who are hurting deeply, and they're looking for you and I to carry out the mission that Christ has called us to do. You don't think your words matter? Explain to me why so many people need counseling based on the words that they've heard throughout their lives. The words that we share with one another can alter the trajectory of a person's life. You're about to see a video clip from the movie Unbroken. The younger person's named Louis, and it's his older brother. Louis is heading down a path of destruction. He's heading down a path of absolutely no good. And he's buying into all these words that have been shared with him over the years, and he's believing them. And his brother says something that changes the course of his life. Watch this video.
Come on, faster.
Why? No one's chasing
me. I'm chasing you.
Can't do this, Pete. I'm not like you. I'm nothing. Just let me be nothing.
What are you talking about?
I can't make a track team. I didn't even know why you
wanted me. Yes, you can. If you could take it, you can make it.
What?
If you can take it, you can make it. All right, you train, you fight way harder than those other guys, and you win. You get out from under them. Or you keep going the way you're going, and you end up as a bum in the streets. You can do this, Lou. Just gotta believe you can.
I don't believe.
I do. Come on. Andiamo. Forza! Va bene.
I don't believe. I don't believe I can make this team. I don't believe that I have any worth. And his brother looks at him and he says, I do. There are people in our lives who don't need to hear any more unwholesome talk. They need to hear words that build them up, not in an insincere way, but in a way that tells them that they have value, that they have worth because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. If you're a Christ follower here today, you get to participate in this mission of sharing wholesome words with people that could very well change the trajectory of their lives. But when we refuse to do that, we miss out on the mission. Paul says, after that, he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. All of those things do destructive things. What he's saying is, use your words in such a way that people can be encouraged. And this rage and this violence and this anger that you have, get rid of it. He doesn't say, hey, manage it. He says, get rid of it. Some of us are carrying this rage and anger and bitterness and malice, and all it's doing is preventing the mission from being accomplished. Get rid of it. Take it to the cross where Jesus Christ has accomplished the mission and leave it there. Because he wraps it up, or he takes us to verse 32, and he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. And here's the key, just as in Christ God forgave you. All of this isn't about doing a bunch of this, that, and the other. Christ has already forgiven us. We need to accept that and live out that forgiveness, this walk with him in the way we interact with one another. By wholesome talk, by being truthful, by taking care of broken relationships and saying, enough's enough, let's allow healing to occur. But notice he's not done. He takes us to another point, and he says this. He says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Do you realize, do we realize how much he cares about us? We're not just loved, we're dearly loved. And in the process of that, he says, you get to experience Christ's love and remember that he gave up everything, and he gave up his life in such a way that he is a fragrant offering. And he says you get to be a fragrant offering when we live out this life that Christ has given to us. Well, Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper. A woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. She broke the jar and she poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Jesus Christ poured out his life as an offering to God. And Jesus Christ says for this mission to be accomplished, and yes, he's already accomplished it, for us to participate in that mission, we are to be a fragrant offering to those that are placed in our lives. That scene is a powerful scene. Jesus is in a room with all men. For that woman to walk in and do what she did violated all types of social customs, but she came in there and she takes this expensive, pure perfume and dumps it on his head, and all of a sudden that room went from nasty smelling men and their feet to this beautiful fragrance that says, Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I want you to experience this pleasant aroma of my offering. He invites all of us to participate in the mission of bringing a fragrant offering to God by the way we live our lives. It's a way of life. It starts by Jesus Christ accepting his forgiveness, accepting the sacrifice, his offering into one's life. And then we get to spread that aroma, that fragrance to everybody we meet. As you leave this morning, I invite you to walk by Welcome Central. When you go to Welcome Central, you will see there are two baskets. In those baskets are samples of perfume, to remind us that we are to spread the fragrance of Christ to those around us. Now do everybody a favor. Don't go spraying it all over the lobby out there so we just have a freak out show with allergies. But may it be a symbol to you that your way of life is to be a pleasant aroma for Christ in the way you talk, in the relationships you heal, and in the way we truly care for one another. Will you do that and be that fragrant offering? Father, we pray. We pray now, as we reflect on these words, we pray that you would take our feeble lives, lives that get broken, lives that get discouraged because of horrific things that happen in this world, lives that get confused because we wonder if the mission is possible. Father, we pray that you would take our lives and that we would be poured out for you, a fragrant offering for the whole world to know Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Go ahead and stand and worship with us this morning.
Praise him.
Hey, you may have a seat now, and we're getting ready to take the offering. As we take the offering, there's going to be a video that Alexa Gotzi put together, and I'm going to tell you it about our experience in Haiti. Alexa, great job. That was so good. So don't applaud for her now. You don't know that it's good. So there, okay? So, but anyway, we give because Christ has given to us. He's given to us. He's provided forgiveness. He's provided what we desperately need. So we invite the ushers to come forward. We invite you to give generously and enjoy this video.
We are the broken.
See, now you can apply for Alexa. It was fantastic. So it was great. So thank you so much for sponsoring us, for sending us, and supporting us. It was a great experience. We now have the privilege of witnessing a baptism. What baptism symbolizes is what Jesus Christ has done in a person's life, and so we look forward to not only what Jesus Christ has done in this person's life, but what will happen in the days, weeks, months, years to come. So we look forward to this.
Noise yet? Oh, there we go. Good morning. I'm here with Michael Rosenberger, which is really exciting. He didn't tell anyone that he was doing this except his parents, so he's really excited to be here with you guys. Alexa's here, right? Oh, good. Good, yeah. And he came to me this past week, and he's like, you know what, I've been thinking about baptism, and I really think that I'm ready. And so we talked back and forth, and I asked him to come up with a reason as to why he believes he needs to get baptized. And as we talked, it just became very clear that he's ready for this program of discipleship with Christ, and he's ready to walk every single day inside and out. And so I'm very honored, very privileged to baptize him. So to share with you guys, I thought he could share why he believes he's ready to get baptized.
The Lord's like willing to go the distance and fight the battles for us, so we don't have to. So I'm willing to dedicate myself to him forever.
Seems pretty legit to me. All right. So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to say a couple things and have you repeat after me. So I believe Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the living God. And I publicly commit my life. To follow him.
To follow him.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
Oh, something. Because of your confession of faith, repentance from sin, and desire to be obedient, I'm now going to baptize you.
That was awesome. He was, Michael and Boss were kind of joking outside before the service, and I'm like, I want to know what's happening, and he wouldn't tell me, and he said he had Alexa a nice Christmas gift that he thought that she would like, and there it is. Okay, stay standing and worship with us again, please.
Into the ring. again. Oh, 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 oh. No need for fear or shame. There's power in his name. Come on, let freedom reign. Let it be.
Love has won, and we get to go out and share that with the people we come across. And so may you not forget that, and don't forget to pick up a fragrance sample as you leave to remind you to be that fragrant offering for Jesus Christ in these coming days. And also remember to come back here tonight at 6 o'clock for the Vision Dinner over in C1. Great food, great time with one another to hear about how God wants to use his church, Big C Church, to expand the kingdom for his glory. The mission's possible because of what he accomplished for us. Know that you're loved. Know that he cares for you. Know that he will never leave you or forsake you. God bless you and have a great rest of the day. We'll see you tonight.